Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Kings. And this evening we'll finish chapter 12, and so we'll look at 1 Kings 12, verses 25 to 33. First Kings 12, verses 25 to 33. Beloved, this is the word of our God. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. And he went out from there and built Penuel. Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now the kingdom will return to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will return to their Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah." So the king consulted and made two golden calves. And he said to them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, that brought you up from the land of Egypt." He set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now, this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. And he made houses in high places and made priests among all the people who were not of the sons of Levi. Jeroboam instituted a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like the feast which is in Judah. And he went up to the altar, thus he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves which he had made. And he stationed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. And he went up to the altar which he had made in Bethel on the 15th day in the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised in his own heart. And he instituted a feast for the sons of Israel, and he went up to the altar to burn incense. Well, that is the word of the Lord to us this evening. Well, Jeroboam, as you remember last week, he has been made king of the northern tribes, the 10 tribes, not including Jerusalem, not including Judah, and that is the northern kingdom, called Israel often in the Old Testament. And then the southern kingdom, the other tribe, Judah, often called Judah, and that Rehoboam is king over. We look at Jeroboam, who is king here, what he did right after he became king. He rebuilds two cities, Shechem and Penuel, most likely for defensive purposes, because they were in the southern part of Israel, and so they would be defensive stations for any attacks that would come from Judah and Rehoboam. And we see there that he does desire security, Jeroboam does. He knows if the northern kingdom, Israel, goes and worships as they are commanded by the Lord, he and his people will have to go to where? Jerusalem. That's where the temple is. That's where the Ark of the Covenant is. And they would have to go to the southern kingdom. And going to the southern kingdom, Jeroboam knows that his people will return to Rehoboam to have him as their king instead of having Jeroboam as their king. And this is what he was thinking to himself. Verse 26, he said in his heart, "The kingdom will return to the house of David." Here's the start of the temptation, it seems, for Jeroboam to sin. For in just two verses, there is idolatry. It was just the last chapter where we ran into a huge heart problem with Solomon. Solomon's heart had turned him away from Yahweh, and here we are again. Calvin is right when he says that man's heart is a perpetual idol-making factory or perpetual factory of idols. How crucial it is for you, even God's people, to guard your hearts. What got Jeroboam was not orthodoxy, worshiping at the temple in Jerusalem, the southern kingdom. It was not that orthodoxy was dull and boring, but that it was unnerving to him. Because the northern tribes would have to continually go to the southern tribe, to the southern kingdom, to worship. And the promise of Yahweh to Jeroboam wasn't enough for him. The commandments of Yahweh were not enough for him, even though Yahweh had given him the 10 tribes and said, "You'll be king." Jeroboam wanted something better. He wanted something more secure than Yahweh's word. And so he turned away from orthodoxy, not because it was no longer true, but because it was no longer useful or best for him and his thoughts and his heart. That's what he thought. He does not find it false, God's word or his commandments or orthodoxy, but he finds it fearful. Since he cannot trust Yahweh's word, Jeroboam must make himself secure. What matters to Jeroboam? It's not truth. It's his position. He wants to be king. Well, he fears losing his position. And Jeroboam comes back in verse 28 and says, it's been long enough that we go to Jerusalem. And he brought back golden calf worship in two different central places, Bethel in the far south, Dan in the far north. This is very convenient for the people. And he's saying to the people here, this is more convenient, people. You don't have to go all the way to Jerusalem anymore, especially if you live up there in Dan, in the very northern part of Israel. Think about the distance, Israel, northern kingdom. Think about the expense it costs you each year when you have to go and worship the Lord, especially if you have to travel a long distance and be away for maybe even a month at a time. And Jeroboam brings it before the people in a very subtle way, like a politician. He doesn't say it's because he fears for his own position. That's the real truth. But he tells them that it would be easier for them. A false religion is always subtle and it often appears easier. And the stupidity of it all, he has made his own holy days to celebrate. Verse 33, this day, the feast that he made up, it was devised in his own heart. It says it right there. It's not God's commandment. Just like what we have in our own culture, the creating of special days like Christmas and Easter for worship and many more holidays, special days that people make up in the church. When the Lord has made up the Lord's Day, holy, especially set the Lord's Day apart compared to all other days, and so we're called by the Lord to celebrate 52 times a year, a special holy day for Him and for our good. And here Jeroboam also made his own priests. It says very clearly they were not of the sons of Levi. They were not Levites. They were not of the people who were supposed to be the priests. But it's Yahweh who had prescribed the personnel who were to work in the public worship of God, the priests and the Levites. It's Yahweh who has prescribed the periods, the times that take place for these feasts and times where they had to go up to Jerusalem. He prescribed a place to go, Jerusalem. That's where the temple was. And Jeroboam violated all these stipulations. Worship and religion for Jeroboam was not a given for him, but something pliable to be shaped as one prefers. All this is Jeroboam's making. The narrator repeats it over and over. He made the high places, he made the priests, he made the festival, he made the bulls, he made the altar. It's sheer invitation. Invention. Excuse me. Worship either rests on the prescriptions of divine revelation or on the preference of the human heart. If it's human heart, it's chaos, which they have here. And so, beloved, be careful of who and where and how you worship. That's the first few commandments, first four. It's easy for man to invent these things and worship man's God in his own way, in his own times. And that's really our warning here as we see golden calf worship return to Israel. And we'll see that shortly from this point they will be judged and they will go into exile, as we read about this morning, to the Assyrians. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you that you have given us your word that reveals to us how we are to worship, who we are to worship, when we are to worship, why we worship. and all those questions about worship. We thank you that your word is clear, and where it's not clear in some particular parts of Scripture, other parts of Scripture make it very clear. We praise you that you tell us exactly how you want to be worshipped. It's your worship, it's not our worship. We don't get to decide. We thank you that you have, seems like to us, have preserved us in this place for many years as it has to do with our worship. We ask that you would continue it, that you would even continue reforming it as in accordance with your word as needs. Father, reveal to us if there are areas in our worship where we are misstepping and seeking our own prideful inventions or desires. Lord, rebuke us where we need to be rebuked and correct us where we need to be corrected. Train us in righteousness. Cause us, even in our own hearts, to worship you, not just going through the motions in our bodies, but that our heart would have this great zeal and desire for your worship and to worship according to your word. Father, we ask that you would put to death all the idols within us that remain, where we seek to worship you in our own ways, even in our daily life outside of public worship. Father, we thank you that you have given us a greater King who is not rebellious, who does not seek his own way, but seeks to please you in all his ways. Your Son Jesus, we thank you that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that these sinful kings, Rehoboam, Jeroboam, and all before them, all after them, though they sinned, we thank you that it pointed forward, especially through the covenant that you gave to your servant David, that it pointed forward to Jesus. And that we can see it clearly, even today, that he rules and reigns, that he sits enthroned in the high place. Thank you that he is God over all. So, Father, we ask that you would be glorified in all of our worship from this day on, until you even bring us into your heavenly kingdom, where we will worship you for all eternity, never ceasing. We look forward to that day with great eagerness and joy, where we will be free from our sin, free from pain, free from all these sinful desires that tempt us, even that we bring on ourselves, that we would not have to be like Paul anymore, who says he does what he doesn't want to do, and he doesn't do what he wants to do or needs to do even. Lord, free us from this sinful flesh, finally and completely. For we do pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.